May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there were three criminals who were sentenced to exile out into the desert, and they could each only bring one personal item. Well, I brought a loaf of bread so that when I get hungry, I'll have something to eat, said the first criminal. Well, I brought a water skin so that when I get thirsty, I'll have something to drink, said the second. Well, the third criminal, looking very, very proud of himself, said, I brought a car door so that when it gets hot, I can roll down the window. Wilderness places can be pretty treacherous. In the Bible, they are often deserts. And, of course, those are places where food and water are pretty scarce. And shelter from either the hot sun by day or the cold from the open sky at night is essentially whatever you wore or whatever you carried on your back. The wilderness has often also been a scriptural metaphor for adversity. We talk about going through the desert or the wilderness when we feel scared, abandoned, alone, or confused. And sometimes the physical and the spiritual meanings seem to merge. We might recall, for instance, how stalwart monks or active missionaries would go and seek out living in places that were pretty far off the grid so that they might either grow closer to God or bring the good news to those who were most distant from society as they knew it. The wilderness, the desert, these are places that help us make sense of times of lack, of risk, of difficulty in our lives, and almost a kind of sacrament of physical locality, if you will, by which we can better grasp spiritual states of adversity. Lent, by that measure, is a wilderness season. We join this season with Christ when he begins his journey in the desert and ends up concluding during Holy Week, having given his very life upon the cross. It's a wilderness for us, too, as we take an honest inventory of our lives, even willingly adopt practices of self-denial. We share in Christ's sufferings. We take up our cross, or at least remember how deep our Lord's pain must have been when he walked that Via Dolorosa, the way of sadness, the trail of tears. However, God does not leave us to dry up in the desert. Our loving Lord is not about to give up on us when the wilderness road seems its most treacherous. In our lectionary readings today, we encounter two stories, a song, and a letter that help provide heavenly waters to refresh our souls. The story of Moses with the children of Israel wandering through the desert confronts us, of course, right away. They are less than happy with Moses' leadership thus far, accusing him of bringing them out into the desert to die. But God instructs Moses to strike the rock with his staff, and voila, water comes gushing out. The people are refreshed, and a coup is averted. The story of Jesus with the Samaritan woman shows us the picture of an outcast of outcasts in Jesus' day. She goes to to Jacob's well in the heat of the day instead of in the cool of the morning when everyone else would go, because she's reviled by her own people. And next to Jesus, she is quite aware of her lowly status. Not a full-blooded Jew, not a man, and not exactly a moral heavyweight. But Jesus neither shuns nor accosts her. He offers her what her heart has been most desperately longing for: spiritual refreshment, living waters, the very Spirit of God welling up from within and overflowing as she joyfully shares the good news with her own hometown. Psalm 95, the Venite, as some of you might know from morning prayer, captures a bit of that joy of the Samaritan woman, but ends up closing with a warning from Israel's less than faithful past. We should be overjoyed to praise God with thankfulness and esteem Him for His greatness, His holiness, His glory. Or else we'll end up finding ourselves like the ingrates who were in the crowd with Moses, stoking the Lord's hot anger instead of enjoying His refreshing springs. Thankfully, St. Paul's letter to the Romans reminds us that for all of the warnings that went unheeded by Israel, God's mercy is nevertheless without limit. We can go through whatever difficulties life throws at us because Jesus has proven His love for us by enduring the cross. Even our sin-soaked, self-inflicted difficulties. We can even grow in our character so that we might bear resemblance to Jesus as His holiness becomes our own. The Spirit that brought back Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit motivating us to follow Jesus, to imitate Him, and to share His love with all. So whatever moral failings that we might bring to the table this Lent, God can and will forgive them. Whatever weakness, the Spirit of Christ will strengthen us. Whatever struggle that we encounter, the Lord will guide us and walk with us each step of the way. And whenever we find ourselves in the deserts of life, we can count on Jesus to water our souls with the Spirit that was promised to us at the font in our baptism and embraced by faith as we choose each day to walk where Jesus walks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that by water and the Spirit, You have bestowed upon us, Your servants, the forgiveness of sin, and have raised us to the new life of grace. Strengthen us, O Lord, with Your presence. Enfold us in the arms of Your mercy, and keep us safe forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.